Welcome back to Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. You're listening to The Checkup, our weekly series about how health care is changing in Maryland. One of the goals of the Affordable Care Act is to change incentives for providers of health care so economic rewards would be more attached to keeping patients well than to the number of tests, treatments, and procedures performed on those patients. Maryland may have more at stake than any other state as these incentives change because Maryland just negotiated a new deal with Medicare about how hospitals will be paid. It's called a waiver. The state will set a global budget for each hospital, a set amount of money that hospital will receive each year, no matter how many patients are admitted, no matter how many procedures are performed, which gives hospitals a huge incentive to keep patients well and out of the hospital, and when patients do need to be admitted, not to keep them any longer than necessary, which in turn means this new system of incentives is creating big changes not only for hospitals, but for nursing homes or skilled nursing facilities, SNFs. To give us an inside view of how these new incentives are being worked out right now, we've invited Carmela Coyle back to the show. She heads the Trade Association of Hospitals, the Maryland Hospital Association. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And Joe DeMatos, who runs the Trade Association of Nursing Homes, the Health Facilities Association of Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Now, Joe DeMatos, many of us think of nursing homes as places where people go to be cared for a long time, maybe the rest of their lives. Not the same kind of patients we think of getting acute care in a hospital. So what's the connection between nursing homes and patients who were just in a hospital?
So there are 233 skilled nursing and rehab centers in Maryland. And a way to look at them is that think of them as a storefront that has two shelves, two sort of product lines that you can go and receive. They have a post-acute side, which is rehabilitative care or prehabilitative care, care after an accident. And then they have the traditional long-term care side for which they are probably best known. But the larger part of the enterprise, whether it's a for-profit enterprise or a non-profit enterprise today in a Maryland Skilled Nursing and Rehab Center, is really the post-acute, the rehab side of services.
And that means what? What is post-acute?
So as an example, I go in, I slip on the ice, and I break my ribs, and I go into one of Carmela's member hospitals, and I get great care, and I get worked up, and they say, look, you've broken your ribs, but we're a little bit concerned about another tear that you might not be feeling right now. So let's take care of your acute injury, your broken ribs, but you need to see somebody about rehabbing that tear. So I could conceivably go to, for instance, Powerback, one of the Genesis facilities, skilled nursing and rehab centers in Maryland, and I could conceivably then rehab that tear in a post-acute setting.
So, Carmela Coyle, are hospitals amping up how much they're turning to rehab centers to care for their patients?
Very much so. And not just rehab centers, really everyone who plays a role in the continuum of care for a patient. So the previous incentives under our old system were for hospitals and physicians and nursing homes to really focus on just the segment of care for which they were largely responsible. What these new incentives do is to really encourage hospitals to work with everybody else in the care delivery community so that we can create a smoother and more clear care path for each individual once they leave the hospital.
Well, I mean, it's one thing for a hospital to discharge a patient to another facility, but to actually help pay for it?
At the moment, we're looking at building those relationships. So it may be discharging to a skilled nursing facility. It may be discharging the patient home and recommending home health care for that individual. There are many, many different options. In terms of the payment, I think that's where we are going to see some experimentation as a result of this new agreement.
The Medicare waiver in Maryland. That's correct.
Hospitals are given a global budget. They have to work to care for patients within that amount. I think what we now need to figure out in Maryland is how to tie in all of the other care providers and to do so in a way that aligns everybody's incentives so that we're all pulling on the same rope in the same direction for the same patient.
But what I'm trying to understand the economic pressure on hospitals to do this.
Sure. The economic pressure is that, let's use Joe's example, an individual who comes into a hospital for an acute care episode, broken ribs, if the patient is discharged to a skilled nursing facility, the chances may be, in this hypothetical case, that they will be better and achieve a full recovery. If that patient is simply discharged home, there is a chance that that patient may continue to injure that tear and come back into the hospital. So we've just brought that patient back to the hospital, one of the highest cost settings that's available in the state, and it was because we could have had an opportunity to care for them in a lower cost, community-based setting, and if you will, continue their recovery, as opposed to simply just discharging them and waiting to see if they came back.
And I don't know about that particular kind of patient. There are some diagnoses for which a hospital's penalized if the patient comes back within 30 days, right?
All diagnoses. So in Maryland, again, we're unique. The rest of the country is using a system of financial penalties for patients who are readmitted to the hospital within 30 days for three conditions: heart attack, heart failure, and pneumonia. In Maryland, for the last couple of years now, we actually have financial penalties that result if there is any patient who is readmitted within 30 days. And that readmission measure is very much part of the new agreement, the new waiver agreement between the state and the federal government. We have agreed to reduce that readmission rate to the national average within 5 years.
Joe D'Amato, so are we talking here, when we're talking about collaboration between hospitals and skilled nursing facilities actually sort of sharing care, is this economic theory or is this actually happening?
So it's happening now. There are many examples of it existing in the current marketplace. For instance, a skilled nursing and rehab center who employs directly physicians or nurse practitioners, allowing those physicians and nurse practitioners to then partner with their colleagues in a hospital setting to better coordinate the care of that individual for which they are sharing responsibility. So what will happen going forward, though, is those types of relationships will become more systematic than they are today. They'll become more of the norm and less of the exception.
That's Joe D'Amatos of the Trade Association of Nursing Homes, the Health Facilities Association of Maryland, here on The Checkup on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us is Carmela Coyle of the Maryland Hospital Association. We're talking about changing economic incentives in inpatient care. Where does the money come from to make these partnerships work?
So we're not sure yet. Let me give you a couple of options. One is... And remember, today the money there is money that goes to hospitals, and money that goes to nursing homes, and so I don't know that there necessarily has to be a change in that flow of the financing. What it is that hospitals are now incented to make certain that their patient, once they leave the hospital, is cared for in the best possible way. And that may mean more referrals to a particular skilled nursing facility. It may mean the hospital says, these five skilled nursing facilities are terrific, but we're not so certain about these two, so we want to make certain our patients are in these five. All of that results in a shift in the funding that's going to particular nursing homes without really, if you will, taking the hospital's money and giving it to the nursing home.
Right. I mean, ultimately, the assumption is, which hasn't yet been proven, but ultimately the assumption is that by providing coordinated care, you are ultimately over an entire system lowering the total cost of care, whether it's as a result of reducing hospital readmission or whether it's becoming more efficient in terms of bundling those care services for the hip replacement that Carmela, came up with, right?
Yeah, that's I must say that that's one of the questions I had, Joe D'Amatos, when you described how skilled nursing facilities today do things and probably look like what I remember hospitals looking like 15 years ago or so. If we are actually putting patients from one very acute hospital to a not so acute hospital, but it still is essentially a hospital.
Right.
How does that really change anything?
It's simply spoken, the three things that we don't have in a skilled nursing and rehab center that are incredibly expensive in a hospital: we don't have an emergency department, we don't have an operating suite, and we don't have huge parking lots, right? So in terms of our care capacity, we have skilled nursing and rehab centers in Maryland have, because of our Maryland rate system for those centers over the past three decades, built this incredible capacity to take care of people in really high medical demand, people facing really serious medical, high acute medical challenges. So we have evolved to be essentially hospitals, but without emergency departments, without operating suites, which is not in the sweet spot of skilled nursing and rehab centers. So the value there is the quality and the level of care at a much, much lower rate, because we're not paying in our capacity for operating departments, some of the equipment that you need in a medical center, and for the emergency departments. So
how much cheaper?
Anywhere from a third to half of the care, depending on, for instance, on ventilator care. You know, 15 years ago, if you needed ventilator care in Maryland, if you needed help to breathe, you had a long hospital stay. Today, most of the ventilator care in Maryland that is beyond just an acute environment is provided for in a skilled nursing and rehab center at one half to one third of the cost.
And I think, and just to add on to Joe's comments, obviously what happens in hospitals is perhaps a little bit more sophisticated.
Oh, it's way more sophisticated.
You know, we've got specialists. It's the 24-hour, you know, a day, 7 day a week capacity. It's the specialization and the ability to accept all comers, the ability to take on any condition. What we have the opportunity to do in Maryland is to actually create a system of healthcare that is where you have the hospitals focused on that expensive, unknown, uncertain inpatient acute care episode, handing off to a skilled nursing facility where they can manage the step-down care that may be of a more chronic but lower-level nature at a lower cost, perhaps handing off to a home health agency to then care for an individual in their home.
Carmela Coyle heads the Maryland Hospital Association. Joe DeMatos heads the Trade Association of Nursing Homes, the Health Facilities Association of Maryland. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/thecheckup. More of this interview there, too. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us on 88.1.